Well, by way of introduction, my name is Bob Foose, and I currently serve as the campus director for Campus Crusades Ministry right here in the Twin Cities at the University of Minnesota. My wife, Jill, who's actually teaching a seminar right over here. In fact, on three, let's yell really loud, "Hi, Jill," okay? Ready? And direct your voice towards this room, all right? So, one, two, three, "Hi, Jill!" Okay, so... So we lead the ministry. We've been here for, it's our fifth year here at the University of Minnesota. Prior to that, we directed Campus Crusades Ministry out at UCLA. Spent 4 years there. And before that, I was telling Chris I was on staff at the University of Wisconsin-Madison, which was my first assignment on staff. Yeah, I'm still, and enjoy being at the University of Minnesota, but I must confess, still a Badger football fan, and I'm excited for that. You gotta give me some, that's where I was born and raised. So anyway, I don't know how many TCX conferences I've been to, but for the last few of them, at least here, I've been doing some sort of leadership seminar, and it's something that I've loved studying about and reading about, all aspects of leading. I love to lead. I found myself at pretty much just about any point in life gravitating towards various leadership positions, be it in high school, college, and now on staff with Crusade and different things like that. And so... just love talking about it, and I assume that you're here because you guys are involved in some leadership enterprise of some sort. And you read the description. Yeah, I was talking to my wife Jill, and I'm like, who the heck is going to come to a seminar on vision? Is it going to be me and five people sitting around in a circle? Who's really into this? And we both thought, well, it's kind of a small slice of people that are probably into this sort of thing. And so I applaud you guys. Obviously, you are the folks that gravitate towards these things and are thinking about how can we, take our movement to the next level? How can we, take our small groups and our outreach and things like that to the next level? And I think vision is a key part of that. So, okay, want to ask you to do one thing. I'm a big believer in listening with a vested interest, all right? And I'm also a believer in the idea that leaders eat problems for breakfast. That if there were no problems in your ministry or in your life or whatever, we wouldn't need leaders, right? And the only reason that we need more leaders is because we're constantly facing more problems, okay? And so, I used to believe, and it's a fallacy, it's a lie from the enemy, that if I just led better, if I was better casting vision or setting strategy or, developing people, that there'd come this point where all my problems would disappear. Well, from what Rick James said last night, it's not going to happen this side of heaven. That's where we will have no problems. And so that's why we need leaders here, is because we're going to deal with the problems that we face. So as you listen to what we're going to talk about and as we interact over this idea of vision, I want you to have a problem in mind that perhaps at the end of our time you could apply the things we're talking to the problem. Does that make sense? Okay, so think about a current problem, and I want to keep it in the Campus Crusade Ministry context, all right? So think of a problem that you are currently facing in your local movement, all right? Now, it might be a small group that you're leading. It might be maybe there's a woman that you're discipling or you're trying to do something in your fraternity, or maybe it's you're giving overall leadership to your movement or whatever it is, and there's something that you're facing. But think about what's a current problem that you're facing that you want to have in your mind as we're talking this afternoon. Here's where we're going, okay? We're going to talk about five questions, all right? And I don't know if those are, maybe they're on your notes. We're going to talk about what is vision? How do I get me one? Why is vision important? When do I need to cast a vision? And then how do I make it stick? And if we get some time, we'll take some questions. And then I'm actually going to have a couple of brave volunteers come up to the front and try to cast some vision. And I'll give you an assignment for what specifically I want you to cast vision to the group for. All right? Because I believe this is a skill, and it's worth practicing. Okay? So we're going to talk it through, and then hopefully a couple of brave souls will come up and cast some vision for us. All right. Well, how many of you say you know a visionary? Anybody know... you know some visionaries in your life? You got one? Can I ask you, or this? Either you know a visionary, or you were caught up in a vision. And I don't mean like in a Paul sort of a way, caught up to the third heaven, though that may have happened, and that might be fun to hear about. But, something that you just got excited about, and you're sort of caught into that vision. I'd like to hear from at least a few of us, either visionaries that you know, or knew, or being caught up in a vision. All right, well, let's look at the first question. What is vision? It comes from the Latin root, videre, which means to see. And vision, just simply put, is a mental picture of your desired future. In fact, I think it was Stephen Covey in, you know, The Seven Habits of Highly Effective People said that everything's created twice. First, it's created in your mind. You get a mental picture of it, and then it's birthed in reality. Everything's created twice. It really answers the question, what will the world or my piece of it look like when we're done, when we've accomplished what we want to accomplish? That's what vision does. It answers this question. What do I want this movement, my small group, this man that I'm discipling, what do I want this person to look like a year from now, 5 years from now, 10 years from now? That's what vision is. It's that mental picture. One person said, vision is the artful Monet part of our direction, French Impressionist, I believe. While purpose and mission do not change, vision can be changing and dynamic. It's in constant interaction with present situations, opportunities, realities, and the values and aspirations of leadership. All right? So as you think about that, it's this mental picture of a desired future. As you're going about wanting to cast a vision up to your campus or your disciple or your small group, whatever, it needs to pass some tests. All right? We call these the ABCDs of vision casting. Okay? And everybody loves, you know, a nice acrostic, so C, D, E, F, yeah, I think that's all we have. Okay, so as you're thinking about casting a vision and wanting to do this, first, A, it needs to be appropriate. Now, I don't mean that it should be devoid of, you know, swear words or, you know, sexual innuendos, but it probably should be. But what do you think it means when I say that your vision ought to be appropriate? What do you think that is? Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, very simply, does it fit in with who you are and kind of the values and the parameters of your organization, your mission, you know, whatever it is. Does it speak to who you are? Like you talked about, your vision at Mid-State is going to be different than our vision at the University of Minnesota at some levels. You know, probably at some levels it's going to be a lot the same, but at others it's going to be different. So is it appropriate? As an organization, does it fit with our history and culture and values? You want to think of that. So is it appropriate? Does it fit in with who we are? B means, is it bold? Is it bold? Your vision ought to stretch the imagination and break new ground. Your vision ought to stretch the imagination and break new ground. A French officer said to Winston Churchill once, and I imagine this was in French and they've translated it into English, said this, if you're doing big things, you attract big people. If you're doing little things, you attract little people. And little people usually cause trouble. Now, it's no offense to the short ones among us, but, you know, kind of that idea. You know what it is, right? It's these people that are you know, just kind of the nitpickers, you know, and you're in your small group or your movement or whatever. You know, just kind of like always looking at, like, the small stuff, and they just don't have the capacity to be able to dream big dreams and kind of in light of who God is. And that's what I mean when I say bold, that our vision ought to be in line with how God has worked in the past, his character and his power. I think as believers, we really ought to trust God for big things in our life and our world. I think, you know, we see that a lot in our ministry worldwide. You know, we talk a lot about just making sure that every student, every one of the 110 million students has a chance to say yes to Jesus Christ. That's big, you know? Like, that's just huge. And I think about on our campus, it's not just about, you know, making sure that all the freshmen hear the gospel, but it's really about all 48,000 students hearing about Christ. You know, it's like, what really kind of stretches our imagination and breaks new ground and is worthy of God? And so your vision ought to be bold. One guy said, small visions require small faith in the small God. Big visions demand big faith in a big God. Now, let me ask you this. Can you think of any examples in Scripture of a bold vision? Yeah. Oh, yeah, okay, the ark. How was that a bold vision? Yeah, you know, that's a huge deal. You know, we're gonna be saved, and we're gonna build a giant boat, and it's gonna float around after the rain comes for 40 days. You know, like, that's a big deal. We're gonna save all the animals, you know? Yeah, huge. Any other examples? Bold vision.
Putting a rock on a giant's forehead?
Yeah. David and Goliath. You know, here's David, you know, a little herder boy, a shepherd boy, and he's just saying, you know, who is this uncircumcised Philistine that taunts the armies of the living God? Just this big vision, and he was going to go for it. You know, I think of Jesus, you know, Great Commission that we heard about this morning. You know, he didn't say, you know, take the gospel to Jerusalem or Judea or just, you know, Judea and Samaria, but he said, you take it to the ends of the earth. You know, this is for everyone. Not just for the Jewish people. Like, the vision was big and it was bold, but it was in line with what God wanted to do. All right? And so I think, you know, who is it? Rick Warren, you know, if you guys have heard him talk, but he talks about this idea of adding a zero. Have you guys heard this at all? And he says you guys set goals, or they set goals for their church. You know, we want to start, you know, 100 new small groups. He said, what you ought to do is add a zero to it. You know, and that really will stretch you. Other, you know, some organizations, I don't know if you've heard the concept of the BHAG. Anybody heard of the BHAG? It's a big, hairy, audacious goal. You know, just this kind of idea of, you know, I think we ought to have BHAGs. You know, like, what is just a big, hairy, audacious goal that we can trust the Lord for? And I think one of them is, you know, 110 million students hearing the gospel every year. That's pretty big, hairy, and audacious, you know. But in light of who God is, we can ask him for that. Okay? So our visions ought to be worthy of God, ought to be bold. C means our vision ought to be clear. It ought to be clear. It should be simple, understandable, unambiguous. It should be clear enough to guide our actions and thoughts. It should cause someone to say, after you've cast it to them or told them your vision, should just be able to cause them to say, I see where you're going. I get it. It makes sense to me. One author said, anyone who doesn't know what's important to the team not only fails to contribute to the team, but actually prevents the team from achieving success. You guys know how it is, right? In your ministries, if you haven't set clear goals or clear direction for where you're going, it's just going to be scattered. You know, people aren't going to know what you're really going for. Now, people are going to do stuff. You know, it's like the verse at the end of Judges, you know, that, you know, when there was no ruler in Israel, everybody did what was right in their own eyes. And you kind of get that idea. If there's no central call, 1 Corinthians 14:8 says, if the trumpet does not sound a clear call, who will get ready for battle? So your vision ought to be clear. It ought to be very simple. We'll talk a little bit more about that in just a second. So clear. D stands for it ought to be desirable. In other words, you know, very simply, people should say, I want into this. Not everybody, you know, like your buddy talked about going to East Asia. There's probably some people that said, it's not for me. You know, but there are others that said, yeah, that's what I want. I want to be a part of that. And so, yeah, part of our vision, it just ought to be, at least some people ought to say, I want in. I'd like to be a part of that. Ought to be desirable. Okay. E stands for energizing. Is your vision energizing? You know, one person talked about how vision is like the coffee that gets them up in the morning. You know, it's the thing that keeps you going. We'll talk about this more in a little bit. But, yeah, it's this idea that is it something that you can get excited about? You can say, this is worthy of my life, and I draw energy from this. Like, it really keeps me going. You know, like I was talking, we had the senior breakfast this morning, and I was talking to my table. They asked me, you know, what are the pros and the cons of being on staff with Campus Crusade? And there's certainly some cons. But I said, well, you know, one of the biggest pros for me is I never wake up in the morning and wonder if what I'm doing is worth it. Like, I never have to wonder if this is worth it. And it's energizing to me as I get up, and I just think I get to influence, you know, college students for the gospel, and it really does echo into eternity, you know, and I think our visions ought to be like that. It ought to be energizing for us, get our blood pumping. All right, and the F stands for vision ought to be feasible. Did I spell that right? F-E-A-S-E-A-B-L-E? Is that not right? S-I? Thank you. Feasible. In other words, it should fall in line with reality. Should be a realistic and informed assessment of what's possible. Now, here's the interesting thing, and I think on your notes it talk about two friends on there. And so here's a bit of a dichotomy that you'll struggle with as you cast vision for things. Because you want it to be bold, you want to have BHAGs, and it should stretch people's imaginations, but it should also cause people to say, this could happen. Like, I could see this happening. Maybe not tomorrow, maybe not even in a year from now, but 5, 10, 15 years down the road, I could really see this happening. An example of this would be a lot of times, and I probably remember even saying this as a student, I remember, you know, saying something like, boy, I dream of a day when everybody on my campus is a Christian. You know, and I just don't think that's feasible. You know what I'm saying? Like, Jesus was pretty clear that that's a narrow way. And, you know, I just don't think that's how God has worked in the past and how he's going to work in the future. But I think a feasible vision is I dream of a day when everybody on our campus has multiple opportunities to come to know Jesus. Now, that's feasible. Is it bold? Yes. But it's also feasible. You kind of see the difference? You know, it's something you could actually say, this really could happen. This really could happen. So I say you've got two friends as you think about this idea of feasibility. One of them is reality, and the other one is time. What do you think I mean, and maybe I've already explained this, but what do you think I mean when I say that reality is your friend in, and we'll, again, in our context of ministry? Yeah.
The reality is we have a big guy.
Mm-hmm. Okay. That's big reality. Uh-huh. Other thoughts on that? Yeah.
Like, keep your ground is so, you know, set yourself up for, like, a huge, like, letdown when it doesn't work out.
Yeah.
Too high expectations.
That's good. Yeah. You know, has that ever happened to you, you know, where you maybe you set a goal that ultimately it was just too big, like we were doing this big internet, every gopher or every student.com thing last year, and the team, you know, had a big vision and big plans, and they said, we want to shoot for 100,000 hits. You know, we figure we got 50,000 students at the U of M. You know, if we got two times, you know, the campus population, 100,000 hits on the website. Well, we knew after the first day of the campaign that that wasn't realistic at all, you know. And so we adjusted our, you know, we said, okay, reality is our friend. You know, what could we shoot for? And we ended up, you know, seeing about, you know, over 5,000 hits on the website, and we were off the charts excited about that. You know, and it, again, it was reality. It's like, okay, 100,000 wasn't really probably a realistic view, but 5 grand, that's pretty darn good, you know, as we were looking at launching this thing. And then the other thing to keep in mind is that time is your friend. And this is just goes back to the idea that we work with time, not against time. And what I mean by that is this, that you are trusting God for things to happen on your campus that may not happen within the next year. In fact, a mantra, a good friend of mine would always say, in ministry, you'll see less happen in 1 year than you'd ever think, but you'll see more happen in 5 than you'd ever dream. And I think as we do this, and it can be tough as a student because you might not be there for more than 5 years, but you're planting seeds for things that will come to fruition within 5 to 10 years. And so as we do ministry, we need to have the long view in mind. And are we doing the things that we need to do today that will get us where we need to be 5, 10 years from now? Okay? So time is really your friend. And, you know, we certainly saw that when I was new staff at the University of Wisconsin-Madison. I remember one of my first weekly meetings there. There were 13 of us. Over the course of 5 years, though, we saw over 200 students get involved in ministry. Same thing at University of Minnesota. We started 4 years ago. You'd see about 100, 120 students coming out to a weekly meeting. You know, we said, okay, let's trust the Lord over the course of the next 5 years. And we've had weekly meetings of 500, 600 this year. And just seeing God, you know, do some things. But we were saying, let's let each year build on the next. Let's let time, let's use time to our advantage. Okay? So that's what I mean by that. We need to take a long view as we do ministry. All right, let me hit pause on this and see if there's any questions about that. Okay, all right, fantastic. Okay, so I submit to you that you all have visions, right? Everybody has a vision. Like, you had a vision today when you got lunch. You know, like, all of you, you all get lunch today, right? Where did you eat? You went to the Subway. Okay, maybe it's not very bold, you know, but there you go. But, you know, you all had a vision as you thought about where you wanted to eat. Because what did you do? First of all, you created it in your mind, right? You thought, you know, I want to eat cheap. I want to eat something that's good. I want to eat something that's fast. You know, you had this mental picture of what you wanted to do. And then your next step was just simply to fill in the blanks, right? Like, what fits that? What will get me to where I want to go? You know, as my wife and I thought about it, we wanted something quality. We needed a place we could walk to. We wanted, you know, good food, but yet, you know, cheap. And so we just went over to the D'Amico and Sons. You know, every day we are constantly getting visions in our head. And so we all have a vision. So my next question is, you know, where do we get vision? Where does it come from? And I would argue that as you think about your ministry and your campus, that you probably already have a vision for it, and you might not even know it. I used to think that vision was something that I had to invent. You know, I just had to just think a lot about it and, you know, create something sort of out of nothing. But what I've learned is, in God's economy, vision isn't invented, but vision is really discovered. Vision isn't invented. It's really discovered. After spending time with the Lord and getting to know what His Word has to say and applying that to your particular situation. In fact, if you look at one of the pages on your notes, it has a series of questions that you can use to think through that that I've used at different points in my life to really help me think through and discover what God wanted to do with our campus and with our particular area. And so, you know, Psalm 37:4 says, "Delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desire of your heart." Now, that doesn't mean that, you know, if I love God, that He's going to give me everything that I want. But what it means is, as we delight ourselves in Him, He plants within us the desires of our heart. He gives us His desires. And so I would argue that as you guys lead spiritually, as you spend time with God, as you spend time with other believers, talking about the Scriptures, talking about the Lord, talking about what you want to see happen, that He will plant within you His desires for your ministry, your small group, your disciples, whatever it is. It ultimately, spiritually speaking, vision originates in the heart of God. It's God saying, I want to do something here, and I want to use this man to do it. I want to use this woman to do it. And I'm going to plant this dream, this picture in their heart. That's where it comes from. And so you see some of the questions on your sheet. You know, it's asking, what am I really dissatisfied with? What needs to be done that's not? What do I hope to see happen on my campus 3 to 5 years from now? What might Jesus like to be true of my campus 3 to 5 years from now? And I like, at the end of it all, one of my favorite questions to ask is, you know, you ask yourself all these questions, and you might ask this question. Imagine that we're standing in heaven reviewing the last 50 years of history. We're seeing the progress of the gospel, the defeat of darkness. As you watch, what do you want to be true of your campus? What do you want to be true of your individual life and the impact that you had on the world? You know, if you're sort of doing the 10,000-year check, you know, we're talking about eternity this whole week. You know, if you do the 10,000-year check as you're 10,000 years later, what do you want to have been true of your time spent on your particular campus? What do you want the Lord to say to you as He reviews the film of your life, the game film of your life? I think that is where vision can be birthed out of. And I would say, too, that vision happens in the context of a community. Think of Bill Bright, who, you know, had the vision to start Campus Crusade for Christ. What he did is, you know, he heard from the Lord, and then he took it to trusted friends. And he said, what do you think about this? And, you know, a number of them added things to it and said, oh, how about this? Have you thought about this? And they were able to think about it in terms of the body and relationships. And so I'd say if the Lord's planted something in your heart, that's also a sign to get others, as my friend Derek says, under the rock with you. You know, to allow that vision to really come to fruition in the context of the body. Does that make sense? You know, that I think that's really where that happens. All right, so let's look at our third thing then. Why is vision important? So here's what I'll ask you guys this. Why do you think? Why do you think it's important that we're talking about this? Or how have you seen vision play an important role in your life? James. Okay. Yeah. Vision focuses. Yeah. Vision focuses. Yeah. What do you got? Ooh, fantastic. These are like my 2 points. Again, it's like you read my notes. Or are they on the notes? Vision motivates. few years ago, I came across this Sports Illustrated magazine, and maybe I can pass this around, but it was from the Sydney Olympics, and it's all these pictures that are like in 3D. You know, you look at it like this, and you're like, well, I think it's a volleyball picture, and it's kind of hard to see. But then you want to try this? So you put on the magic glasses, and then you just need to, we're going to believe you, just tell us how cool it looks. Isn't that awesome? That's kind of neat, yeah. So you can pass that around, you know. But that's kind of what vision is, right? It's like the glasses that we put on, like James was saying, that really focuses us and our efforts, all right? So now some of you, maybe you thought about your movement or your small group, there's a problem of not focusing. You know, we're not on the same page here. I don't know where we're going. Well, that's where vision comes in. It's like for you to be able to say, here's where we're going, gang. This is the picture of our desired future. And immediately, boom, it focuses it. You know, like, again, our lunch example for us, you know, as I thought about, you know, here's my picture, my desired picture of a lunch, it really focused me. You know, I knew I didn't want to go to the Carver's restaurant or whatever, you know, I didn't want to run over to Buca, anything like that. It focused us. It's like, okay, I've got 3-4 options here, and let's just pick the one that most fits our vision. And that's what having a clear vision does for you. Have you guys heard of Southwest Airlines? You know, they don't fly out of the Twin Cities, but they do a lot of other you know, markets and things like that. But one of my favorite companies to study, but there's one point in time when the executives of Southwest Airlines, they were starting the airline, and they locked themselves in a room. They were just at their beginning stages, and they said this. They said, we're not going to come out of this room until we can write up on the wall in 100 words or less what we're going to look like when we grow up. Like they just wanted to clarify, what are we going to be as an airline? What do we want to characterize us? And I'd ask, have you done that for your life? Have you thought about doing that for your the small group that you're leading? What do you want to characterize these men and women that you're leading by the end of the year? What do you want your movement, if you're giving overall leadership to your movement, what do you want it to look like over the course of the next 5-10 years? One of the former Southwest Airlines CEOs said, most companies fail in their growth because they don't have a vision. They don't know where to go. When you have a vision and someone comes to you with an idea, you can hold it up to the vision and ask, does it fit? Does it help us get to where we need to go? If not, don't bother me. There was a time when in Campus Crusades history, there was actually a number of staff that formed a coup, and they wanted to basically overthrow. They told Bill Bright that you're done, we want you to leave, and they wanted to turn Campus Crusade for Christ into a church. And Bill Bright did what these Southwest executives did, and he said, you know, here's our vision, and my vision was never to become a church. It was always to work with the local church and be an arm of the church. This was never the vision. And he said, you know, you can try to throw me out, but I'm not going anywhere. I started this thing, and you guys need to change, you know, or leave. And that was kind of the deal. And so that was, you know, his vision was so strong. Like, this is not about becoming a church. This is about helping the church and serving the church. And I think in our movements, we need our vision to be that strong, you know, to be able to say, you know, we're about winning and building and sending, and everything that we do needs to be put up to that light. You know, we need to evaluate. Does it help us in that? And if it does, then great, let's go for it. But if not, it's maybe a good thing, but it's maybe not the best thing for us to do. And so vision really does focus our efforts. You know, you think about it the same way with leading a small group.